This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
If you're constantly on the hunt for a good deal, then you need Rakuten. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, traveling, dining, and more. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Your cash back really adds up.
Mid-flight nosedive. What led a plane carrying more than 230 people to suddenly drop, throwing passengers into the ceiling?
We don't know exactly what it is, but something like this is very rare.
The latest in a series of air scares as the Justice Department opens a criminal probe into Boeing after the door panel blew out. CBS Evening News starts now. Good evening. I'm Nora O'Donnell, and thank you for being with us. Tonight, there's more turbulence in the air and on the ground for Boeing with the terrifying incident involving a passenger jet over New Zealand and a new investigation into the company's practices. We're going to have more on that in just a moment. But we do want to begin with this breaking news just coming in of a deadly school bus accident in Western Illinois. State police say five people were killed, including three children, when the school bus crossed over the yellow line and then slammed into a semi-truck. Both the bus and the truck burst into flames, killing everyone on board both vehicles. CBS's Roxana Saberi is going to start us off tonight with the tragic details.
Semi has hit a school bus. One of the vehicles is on fire.
Charred and twisted metal is all that remains of a school bus and semi-truck that collided in Rushville, Illinois this morning.
Preliminary information indicates that the bus was traveling west on Route 24, and for an unknown reason, crossed over into the eastbound lanes in front of the semi-truck. Both vehicles became engulfed in flames.
It happened on this stretch of highway in the rural community of Schuyler County, Illinois, about 200 miles southwest of Chicago. Police say the school bus hit the semi-truck, hauling a load of sand.
It's a close-knit family, and when you have lost a life like this, it's devastating.
Police say all three children on the bus and both drivers were killed. The accident comes amid a recent spate of bus accidents. An estimated 108 people were killed in school bus-related crashes across the country in 2021. Just last Wednesday, a service truck ran a red light in Wisconsin, slamming into a school bus and injuring eight students. And tonight, a school bus crashed into a house in Dorchester, Massachusetts. In today's crash, investigators from the Schuyler Sheriff's Department are now searching for clues on the cause of the collision.
Tonight, the city of Rushville is asking people to lower their flags to half staff. The names of the victims have not yet been released. Nora?
Roxana Saberi, thank you so much. Now to the growing problems facing aerospace giant Boeing and a new criminal investigation by the Justice Department following a series of safety incidents involving America's largest airline manufacturer. As CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports, that includes a mid-air scare today over the skies of New Zealand.
Don't worry. Terrifying moments on board LATAM Flight 800 today, flying from Sydney, Australia to Auckland, New Zealand, shown in this video obtained by the New Zealand Herald. The airline says the plane experienced a technical issue, resulting in a strong movement of the Boeing 787 that launched passengers into the ceiling, leaving some bloodied. Early reports indicate the plane's flight control system may have temporarily malfunctioned, resulting in up to 50 injuries on board, 13 taken to hospitals.
We don't know exactly what it is, but something like this is very rare.
This latest incident comes after several air scares in the U.S. just last week. Now, CBS News has learned the Department of Justice has launched a criminal probe into Boeing, stemming from the door panel that blew out midair on this Alaska Airlines 737 MAX in January. The NTSB investigation so far indicates the bolts holding that panel in place were not reinstalled during the plane's manufacturing process. And now Boeing says it cannot find paperwork that should have been generated by those repairs.
They need to go through a serious transformation here in terms of their responsiveness, their culture, and their quality issues.
DOT Secretary Pete Buttigieg and FAA Administrator Michael Whitaker today in Washington.
Do you feel like they're making safe airplanes right now?
We're certifying the airplanes as they come off, and right now with our oversight, we're certifying them as safe, yes.
Okay, because respectfully, you certified this plane that didn't have bolts in a door panel, so...
We've dramatically increased our oversight of the actual production of the aircraft.
Chris Van Cleve with the tough questions. So what kind of consequences could Boeing face?
Well, Boeing is declining to comment on this DOJ investigation. But if investigators were to find wrongdoing, Boeing could potentially face criminal charges. And they're already facing a number of lawsuits from that Alaska Airlines incident, one seeking $1 billion, Nora.
All right, Chris Van Cleve, thanks for staying on top of it. Overseas now to Gaza, with the Muslim holy month of Ramadan now underway and a growing rift between President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. At a congressional hearing today on global threats, Avril Haines, the director of national intelligence, warned that the war in Gaza will likely have a generational impact on terrorism. Now, this is the U.S. military today conducted its seventh airdrop of humanitarian aid to the region. CBS's Chris Livesay reports tonight from Jerusalem.
With ceasefire negotiations failing, Israel says it's mobilizing for an offensive on Rafah, a Hamas stronghold, but also a refuge to 1.5 million Palestinians. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is vowing his military will push ahead regardless of concerns from the White House, arguing any friction with the U.S., Israel's biggest ally, emboldens Hamas.
To the extent that Hamas believes that there's daylight between us, that doesn't help.
President Biden has been sharpening his criticism of Netanyahu over the loss of civilian life in Gaza.
He's hurting Israel more than helping Israel by making the rest of the world. It's contrary to what Israel stands for.
Israel insists it will allow a major evacuation of Rafah before the offensive, but hasn't revealed exactly how. This week marks the start of Ramadan, the Islamic holy month, a time of prayer and fasting, but in recent years, violence as well, over Israeli restrictions on accessing Muslim holy sites in Jerusalem.
Muslims are heading to the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. It's been a flashpoint in Ramadan's past, and this year, with the war in Gaza, tensions are boiling.
Palestinians. Samer Sinijlawi is an activist with the Palestinian political party Fatah.
On Ramadan, everybody suddenly will feel that he has a sense of responsibility to act, not only to show solidarity. Suddenly the images that are coming out of Gaza that generated some kind of grief and sorrow will be translated into anger.
Now, hopes for a ceasefire aren't dead. CIA Director Bill Burns was in the region this weekend to negotiate. Now, Israel, the government here in Jerusalem, is insisting Hamas release the dozens of Israeli hostages it's been holding for 5 months. But so far, Nora, Hamas is refusing.
Chris Livesay with that new reporting. Thank you. Now to America Decides 2024 and the race for president. Tonight, there's a shakeup at the Republican National Committee engineered by Donald Trump. CBS News has learned that dozens are being pushed out as the former president's allies and his daughter-in-law take over. Here's CBS's Nancy Cordes with headlines from the campaign trail.
Campaigning in New Hampshire today, President Biden brought up the company his opponent kept this weekend.
He was a Viktor Orban, who talked about democracy being a problem.
Viktor Orban is the authoritarian-leaning leader of Hungary who has cracked down on the judiciary, the press, and LGBTQ plus rights. He drew high praise from Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago.
He said, this is the way it's going to be, and that's the end of it, right? He's the boss. And now he's a great leader, fantastic leader.
Orban later told the Hungarian press that Trump had promised he would not give a penny to Ukraine if elected. The Trump campaign disputes that. They're also fielding questions about Trump's abrupt reversal on TikTok. He now opposes a ban on the Chinese-owned social media site.
It was a meeting that lasted for a few minutes.
In an interview this morning, Trump denied that his change of heart came after meeting with financier Jeff Yass, whose fund has a multi-billion dollar stake in TikTok's parent company.
I don't think I ever met him before, but he never mentioned TikTok.
In the same interview, Trump suggested he is open to cutting Medicare or Social Security to save money. Biden seized on that in New Hampshire.
I'm never going to allow that to happen. I won't cut Social Security. I won't cut Medicare.
In the wake of his State of the Union address, Biden is hitting battleground states and airing a new ad about his age.
Look, I'm not a young guy. That's no secret. But here's the deal. I understand how to get things done for the American people.
In Rome, Georgia this weekend, Trump called Biden's State of the Union speech an
angry, dark, hate-filled rant.
Then he mocked the president's lifelong stutter.
Measures I'm going to bring the country to together.
It was not the first time Trump has made fun of a disability or speech disorder. A Biden campaign official said that it shows that Trump is, quote, weak and insecure. It came in the same speech that Trump referred to reporters as criminals. Nora?
Nancy Cordes at the White House, thank you. The powerful winds that howled from Virginia to New England today turned deadly outside the capital of Pennsylvania. A 43-year-old man was killed overnight when the wind blew down a tree, hitting his home. Winds topping 50 miles an hour were recorded at the time. The threat continues tonight across the Northeast. Tonight, an update for U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Jamaica, calling an emergency meeting with several Caribbean leaders as the surge in violence in Haiti has that country on the verge of collapse. Over the weekend, the U.S. military evacuated some U.S. embassy workers for safety reasons. The turmoil started last month with these powerful gangs demanding that the prime minister step down. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez has more on the growing crisis.
Haiti is on the brink of collapse. Armed gangs have a stranglehold on the capital, setting fire to police stations and storming prisons to free thousands of inmates. The latest violence led the U.S. to evacuate non-essential personnel from the embassy in Port-au-Prince over the weekend. But it's the Haitian people who are caught in the middle. The situation in the country is critical. People can no longer go about their business, says this man. The gangs are threatening all-out war unless Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry resigns. He's stuck in Puerto Rico after gangs attacked the main airport. Today, Secretary of State Antony Blinken flew to Jamaica for an emergency meeting with leaders from other Caribbean nations. The State Department says it's in touch with Americans trapped in Haiti.
If they're in Haiti, they should leave as soon as it's safe for them to do so.
Henri took over after the assassination of Jovenel Moïse in 2021 and has delayed new elections. The turmoil has displaced 15,000 Haitians over the last week, and nearly 1,200 have been killed and 700 injured since the beginning of the year. Jacqueline Charles covers the Caribbean for the Miami Herald.
What is the life like right now for a normal Haitian family?
There's only a few days of fuel that's left for electricity. Schools are closed. Hospitals have also been overtaken by the gangs who have also done the same with police stations. I mean, people are really just on their own.
For U.S. citizens in Haiti tonight, options to evacuate are limited because major U.S. carriers have suspended flights. If the situation there does not improve, CBS News has learned a full evacuation of the U.S. embassy is likely. Nora?
Very dangerous. Manny Bajorquez, thank you so much. Well, tonight there are new questions surrounding the health of the Princess of Wales. Kate Middleton's last public event was 2.5 months ago, and except for a few paparazzi-style photos, she hasn't been seen since Christmas. Now a photoshopped image of Princess Catherine and the royal children has the future queen apologizing. CBS's Charlie Daggett reports.
The controversy started innocently enough, a family photo of the Princess of Wales and the smiling children to mark Mother's Day here in Britain. But then came the kill order from several global news agencies like the Associated Press, saying it appears the photo had been manipulated at source, and apparently not very well. Observers noted more than a dozen inconsistencies, a sleeve that didn't line up with Charlotte's wrist, a skewered zipper on Kate's jacket, and her blurred hand around Louis. Initially, the palace refused to comment, but today the princess tweeted, "Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph caused." But it's the first official photo since Kate underwent unspecified abdominal surgery nearly 2 months ago. And the doctored image only fueled the tempest of speculation surrounding Catherine's health.
I've never seen anything in all the years I've been doing this job like today.
And is it because so many people want to know what's going on?
I think it's because we haven't really had a situation like this where two very senior members of the royal family are unwell.
The shot was taken by Prince William, seen today at a Commonwealth service, who's been flying solo as the face of the monarchy for weeks. His father, King Charles, undergoing cancer treatment, his wife still recovering from surgery.
Dealing with health-related issues at home, and now scrutiny on the world stage. Tonight, our sources close to the palace called the controversy a storm in a royal teacup. But Nora, that Photoshop fail won't do much to dampen down the speculation around the princess's well-being.
Yeah, so many questions left. Charlie Daggett, thank you. Officials in Florida are investigating a rare and terrifying encounter with a crocodile that sent a man to the hospital. We've got the details next.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
A 68-year-old man is recovering after being bitten by a rare crocodile in Florida's Everglades National Park. Officials say the man was trying to swim ashore yesterday afternoon after his boat capsized when he was bitten on the leg. He was taken to the hospital in stable condition. Wildlife officials are monitoring the American crocodile, which is listed as a threatened species in the U.S. Now to this consumer alert. Airbnb announced a ban today on all indoor security cameras at its rental properties around the world. Hosts now have until the end of April to get rid of any indoor cameras. Now, the outdoor security cameras are still permitted as long as guests know about them before they book. Oppenheimer had a huge night at the Oscars. That and the big surprises from the Academy Awards. That's next. The epic summer blockbuster Oppenheimer took home many of the top awards at the Oscars last night. There were a few surprise moments still getting buzzed tonight. Entertainment Tonight co-host Kevin Frazier has all the highlights.
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
The Oppenheimer. It was an epic night for Oppenheimer, the Christopher Nolan movie about the creation of the atomic bomb, won Best Picture and 6 other Oscars, including Best Actor for Cillian Murphy.
For better or for worse, we're all living in Oppenheimer's world, so I would really like to dedicate this to the peacemakers everywhere.
And Best Supporting Actor for Robert Downey Jr.
I'd like to thank my terrible childhood and the Academy in that order.
And the Oscar goes to Emma Stone.
Perhaps the biggest surprise of the night, Poor Things star Emma Stone beating out Lily Gladstone for Best Actress.
Oh boy, this is really overwhelming.
Divine Joy Randolph took home the trophy for Best Supporting Actress.
I've always wanted to be different. And now I realize I just need to be myself.
As the Barbenheimer box office rivalry came to a head.
And the way this award season's turned out wasn't that much of a rivalry, so.
Barbie took home just one prize, Best Song for What Was I Made For? Billie Eilish at 22 became the youngest person to win 2 Oscars. But it was Ken who stole the show. Ryan Gosling brought the Kennergy singing the other Barbie-nominated hit, I'm Just Ken. I'm just Ken. The performance got the crowd on its feet and likely caused this wardrobe malfunction.
My dress is broken. I think it happened during I'm Just Ken.
I'm Just Ken was a big hit, but it wasn't confirmed the other Kens from the movie would join Ryan until just a couple of weeks ago, and some didn't lock in until Thursday. Now, here's the fascinating thing. Barbie was all about female empowerment, but in the end, it was the men, the patriarchy, that got all the attention, Nora.
Well, I don't know about that. Kevin, thank you. Heart of America is next with the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team back on top.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Finally, tonight's Heart of America with a team that has captured America's heart time and time again. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team returned to their winning ways after beating powerhouse Brazil last night 1-0 in the finals of the inaugural Women's Gold Cup in San Diego. U.S. captain Lindsey Horan knocked in the game's lone goal. Look at this, with this incredible header just before the half in front of a sellout crowd. Horan said it's been a hard-fought journey.
We've dealt with a lot of different kind of adversity and ups and downs, and so I'm really proud of the way we came out of it and getting a win at the end.
We're proud, too. After an early exit from the 2023 World Cup and a bronze medal at the 2020 Olympics, the U.S. women have their sights set on gold at the Paris Games this summer. Congratulations and good luck to the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. That's tonight's Heart of America. And that's tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
If you enjoy tuning in to the CBS Evening News, there are official t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more available for purchase at ParamountShop.com. These products are perfect for any fan of evening news, and you can take 20% off with code EVENING20. That's 20% off all CBS Evening News products with code EVENING20 at ParamountShop.com.